We know jobs are going away, but which ones?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Good morning. The May unemployment numbers come out later this morning, and it's going to be ugly. That's the expectation. Unemployment rate past 9%, 500,000 more jobs lost. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman tells us one thing that makes this recession different is the kind of jobs that are going away.
It's lousy to get laid off no matter where you stand on the economic pyramid. Nariman Baravesh is chief economist at IHS Global Insight. He says this time those at the bottom in terms of skill set have plenty of company.
Typically, recessions hit less well-educated workers harder than people with higher degrees. This is a broad-based recession in the sense that it's hitting all workers.
Of people without a high school diploma, 15% are unemployed right now. The jobless rate among university graduates is just 4.5%. That sounds low, but it's more than double what it was last year, 1 million more professionals unemployed. Baravesh says that just shows how deep and broad the recession is.
Typically, companies value those skills that they have and are more reluctant to let them go than people who have lower skill levels.
Baravesh predicts unemployment won't peak until early next year at just above 10% overall. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
We all know China is making some big acquisitions these days, but the most ambitious deal has just fallen apart. We're talking about a $20 billion check to a mining company that is now getting ripped up. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Chinese metals company Chinalco was to put $19.5 billion in mining giant Rio Tinto, which is listed in Australia and the UK. Chinalco would have gotten a whopping 9% of the company in two board seats. Commodities consultant Michael Kamasaroff.
They bit off more of the company than public opinion, including the shareholders, could digest.
Rio walked away today after complaints from shareholders it was giving away the store. And given commodity and stock prices are up, Rio is not as desperate anymore to make a deal. There was political opposition, too. An Australian TV ad connected Chinalco to the Tiananmen Square killings 20 years ago.
It is definitely a setback to Chinalco.
Su-Ik Lim is with Fitch Ratings.
But this is not going to stop Chinese companies from continuing to seek out resources.
Industrial China has big needs for raw materials like minerals, wood, and oil and gas. Rio Tinto is moving on, too. It still needs $20 billion, so it's issuing new stock. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Another Chinese deal that could be in trouble is the purchase of GM's Hummer brand by an obscure Chinese industrial machinery firm. Some analysts are saying regulators in China could block the deal. One theory is that the Beijing leadership doesn't like the idea of such an inexperienced company taking such a high-profile risk. Another is that China is already taking heat for being a polluter and a gobbler of energy. Perhaps Hummer is not the brand they want to be known for. Let's do the numbers. European markets are about 1% higher this morning. London is above that. Asian markets were mostly up today. Yesterday, Wall Street was higher across the board. The Dow added 75 points and closed at 8,750. A group of Chrysler debt holders is still trying to stop the sale to Fiat. They are in a federal appeals court today.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by Reuters, offering breaking news, exclusive stories, and insights that impact today's financial markets. More at newsfirst.reuters.com.
One reason newspapers are in trouble is that you can so happily get your news other places. It's fun to scan the web for stories. It's easy to, you know, check your stocks on your phone. But there is one part of newspapers that seems to go best with a cup of coffee and some crinkly newsprint, and that is the comics section. Reporter John Raby wanted to know what happens to comics if newspapers die.
Jeff Millett draws Fraz, a sweet, smart comic strip about an elementary school janitor, out of his home in Lansing, Michigan.
You dream right from the start that it could be a living. I was able to feel confident enough to go strictly full-time with Fraz after about a year of syndication.
Millett grew up reading standbys like Peanuts, and now he's making his living drawing a strip that runs in 150 U.S. newspapers. But these days, the Detroit News, which runs Fraz, only delivers 3 days a week, and other papers are shutting down or going online only.
Sometimes I worry that they are just so ingrained and associated with ink on newsprint that they're just not going to fit quite as well into wherever newspapers go next.
All comic strips are already online, but nobody's found a way yet to get the web to pay enough so that drawing a strip can stay a full-time job. Cartoonists are worried. At their annual convention last month, they held a seminar on the future of newspapers and comics, where Jim Borgman, who draws the strip Zits, heard from a lot of frazzled young artists.
Yeah, you may have a syndicated strip. You certainly need to keep a website up. You're probably blogging. Some of these guys have, like, stand-up acts. They're in bands that, you know, somehow cross-pollinate with their strip. One guy looked up at me today and says, you need a staff to do this.
Cartoonist Darren Bell has chronicled the death of newspapers in his strip, Canderville, and he actually has a tip jar on his website. He says the money coming in from the web, not just in tips, is only a quarter of his income as a cartoonist, but he's not worried about comics.
Comics have been around basically since the first caveman found the first cave wall.
One thing we're fairly sure cavemen didn't draw on cave walls is crossword puzzles. They debuted in newspapers in 1913. Will Shortz is NPR's puzzle master and editor of the New York Times crossword. He says puzzles will survive in books and online even if newspapers go away, and the economic impact on puzzle makers will be minimal.
Honestly, most people are making puzzles because they love it, they just love the process, and they're anxious to see their names in print. They're not doing it for the money.
Shortz pays his freelancers $200 for a daily puzzle and $1,000 for a Sunday puzzle. But since he publishes the work of more than 100 puzzle makers a year, nobody's making a real living at this except him. In Los Angeles, I'm John Raby for Marketplace.
As for the business section, you don't need a newspaper for that because we're on the radio and online at marketplace.org. I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great Friday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.